You're listening to Capes and Scowls, the premiere. All right, it's not really premiere, but we do okay. Comic book podcast since 2010. Thank you.
There was a firefight!
Why did you touch me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Let's do this.
Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls, episode number 7.
Woo!
That's all my energy for the day.
And yeah, we're done.
All right, so let me just tell everybody how things are. We have a fuck ton of news coming out of New York Comic Con. It's not even all of the news, but there's so much news, and we're just going to plow through it. We might bounce back and forth between comics and TV. I really don't give a fuck. We're just going to get all of this out of the way, because I figure today is going to be a whole new set of news about this big, and we'll just have so much to talk about next time. So, introduce yourselves.
My name is Lou.
You are Lou. Good job.
Hi, I'm Leander.
You don't have to wave.
I'm Leander.
Hi, I'm Leander, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm an alcoholic. And I'm Tim. So,
and he's an alcoholic.
Gentlemen, yes. How is everybody?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Okay. I'm great. Fall season, best season ever. So yep. I'm pretty good.
I have had no coffee. And I'm angry. I'm the one who's not well. Because I was supposed to get blood work done before this, and the place I always get blood work done at was just gone. Like, gone in the wind. And I'm like...
Like you showed up and it was just like an abandoned building.
And yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly that. And then I'm like,
tumbleweeds
fuck.
Of like old plastic bags.
Yeah,
just like,
yeah. Just blowing in the wind, just... American Beauty. And, and then I was...
But I talked to the doctor on the phone.
So I look online to see where there's other places I can go. I'm like, oh, there's one not too far. And I call and... No connected, no number, no nothing. So I'm like, fuck, alright. But then I was like bitching in the parking lot to myself like a lunatic. And I'm like, they gotta take down the fucking sign. The big fucking sign. Because it's like in a bigger shopping center with like a big fucking sign. And a guy pulls up and starts taking down the sign. As I'm bitching.
Really?
About
you
it.
Made it happen.
I made it happen.
That ties
I willed
in,
it.
That ties into the book I'm gonna review.
Nice.
There it is.
Nice.
Alright, so I have powers. But anyways, there's a fuck ton of news. So we'll get right into it. Of course... Check out our Facebook. You can email us, capesandscowls@gmail.com, and capesandscowlspodcast.com.
Oh, and tell them about the app.
And there is an app called Podcast Addict that we really like. It seems to update our podcast very fast. There's a bunch of podcast apps. You choose the one you like. That one I like to plug just because they seem to get everything updated really quick. Yeah. Oh, you have your band to plug.
Yeah, but let me do that later because I have to look up where our shows are.
Fair enough.
All right.
So get ready, Mississippi.
Do a little research.
So, Leander, I'm going to start with some news you're not going to be happy
oh,
about.
Oh, shit. Here
X Factor.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Issue 20 is the final issue.
Are you serious?
It got shit canned.
What?
People aren't supporting books, man.
Fuck them.
I know.
You
know,
I'm all right with that. I'm all right, because it ended strongly for me, in my opinion. So,
well, it's not done yet. It could end badly.
It won't. They won't let it happen.
It's just the support wasn't there. And then there's a list. This was from Newsarama, and it was a pretty decent list of 10 books that are on the cusp of being canceled.
Mm-hmm.
The last time Newsarama made a list like this, almost all of them got canceled.
Mm.
And the ones that didn't are on this list again. So, just, and it's between Marvel and DC.
Okay.
Aquaman and the others, I don't even know how that happens. All new Ghost Rider.
Right, yeah.
Wait, these are ones getting canceled?
They're very close to
being
canceled.
Okay.
So it's surprised. Either like run out and buy all the issues and support the book if you like it, otherwise it's going. Swamp Thing.
It was a book? I didn't know it was a book.
See, that's part of the problem. Right. Secret Avengers.
Sure.
Batwoman. Mm. All New Invaders. I didn't even know that was a monthly. I thought it was a mini. Yeah. Constantine has been back and forth.
Hmm.
And maybe it'll pick up because of the show, but probably not. Elektra.
Okay, sure.
Didn't that just started?
Yeah. All New Ultimates.
All New Ultimates, good.
And Infinity Man and the Forever People. DC, why do you even make a book like that? You deserve to get it canceled.
And X-Factor, you said, is one.
And X-Factor's already confirmed.
So it's confirmed. So nothing we can do is confirmed. No matter what I do on this podcast where everyone goes out and buys all the books, it's going to happen.
I mean, it would get a brand new number one maybe if you did that.
Okay.
Factor X. Written by Peter David and drawn by the same fucking person. So news. Marvel had a big announcement. They're doing a huge fucking event called Secret Wars, which sounds a lot like an event they did in the 80s, doesn't it?
It sure does.
This event is apparently fucking massive, according to them. It was planned all the way back in 2012 when they switched all the writers around. Bendis left Avengers, Hickman went to Avengers, all of that. Remender went from X-Force to wherever the fuck he went.
Mm-hmm.
Uncanny Avengers.
Yes.
Hickman is going to be the writer for this event. The artist is Isad Ribic. No fucking idea. No idea. This is going to come out in May of 2015. There's a teaser image that is a painting by Alex Ross. And it's being described. And here's a quote from Marvel's senior VP of publishing, Tom Brevoort. He's calling the event overwhelmingly huge and the biggest thing Marvel has ever done. Asshole. So it's a big event. Here's the two things you got to take away from the teaser image.
All right.
There's multiple versions of the same character in the picture. There's like 47 Wasps.
Mm-hmm.
There's Falcon Cap, Steve Rogers Cap, and Girl Cap, which was like some weird thing they did in like the 90s.
Okay.
Which like alternate universe Cap. But here's what a lot of people are speculating, that there's no mutants on the poster. There's no Fantastic Four on the poster. And the only Spider-Man on there is the Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man. So everything that Sony has the rights to, movie-wise, is not on this poster. So maybe they're actually planning to turn this into a book-slash-movie kind of event. That's what a lot of people are speculating. Because Miles Morales, technically, I think they can do. Interesting.
Is Miles Morales in regular continuity now? Because I've been seeing him on some. How did he get there?
Spider-Verse. It had to be part of the Spider-Verse situation.
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah,
because I've been seeing some books that weren't Ultimates. I'm like, well, that's Miles Morales, so I'm assuming like, oh, maybe they introduced him in the regular continuity.
I missed which is where cool. he got entered in, but yeah, that's what I've heard.
So it's some big event that they're claiming is going to be huge. It's Hickman writing, so it's probably decent, but who knows? Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
I don't
that's great. If they can stick it. Stick it to Sony by being like, we got Miles Morales, spider-related hero. Like,
but that's all speculation. But, that being said, another news story. Disney and Sony are talking. And they're talking because Sony doesn't want to give up anything. But they're talking to Disney and they're saying, we might work out a deal where we let you use Spider-Man in the Avengers universe.
All right.
Mm. That's amazing. The fact that they're even talking. But they don't want to give up the rights. Yeah. They don't want anything, but they would give you... I don't know if it would be Andrew Garfield or if it'd be like, recast him, you can use him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably what they would do anyways. They'd be like, we want some unknown guy who's...
Yeah, and... No, I mean...
Plus nothing.
That's great. I mean, look, they're huge corporations. They're the most powerful entities in the world.
The mouse.
They can do whatever they want. If they want to work out a deal where you don't get the rights, but you get to... Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
They can literally make their own rules and do whatever they want. Just
throw some money around here and there.
Yeah, money goes this way, money goes that way, everyone gets Spider-Man, everyone's happy, everyone gets paid.
And the poor are still the poor.
Sounds right.
Nothing trickles down, but we get to watch movies in 3D.
Even if we don't want to watch them in 3D.
You know what? I think I'm kind of becoming a 3D addict.
Are you?
I didn't like it at first. But now with the Marvel movies, it just so happens that the last like three I've seen have been in 3D, and now I'm like, you know, unintentionally, I might have gotten addicted to it.
Guardians was good in 3D.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't want to see it in 3D, but that's what
Captain America. Captain America was good in 3D. The end
surprisingly,
part,
yeah,
the end part where he's like flying around on the hover ships and stuff like that, like in 3D, it's like tiny little guy like way in the background, and like you're seeing this whole scene.
Yeah.
Like I'm kind of into it now.
Mm-hmm.
So
it hurts my brain, but I'm with you.
Well, I think you get over it pretty quickly, though.
Can I?
Yeah. Just suffer.
Now, the first couple times I saw the 3D movie, I was like, yeah, that's a little much. But now it's like, maybe they're getting better at it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
This is nothing like when I watched Hondo with John Wayne with my red and my red and blue glasses on TNT.
I love when they were... I love the long dialogue scenes in 3D with John Wayne.
Pilgrim. I'm like, he's just on a horse, and he's red and blue. I don't understand.
It's like that horse is coming right at me slowly.
It's like walking up here, like it's happy. There's no threats.
If you ever wanted to see a man walk towards you over a desert over a long period of time, then 3D's your
3D
thing.
3D was your thing, man. I remember that being like an event. Like, Hondo will be on TV in 3D. So moving forward, Brian Peluto. At least that's how I think you say his name.
Sure.
The guy who created Lady Death is creating his own comic company, Coffin Comics, and that is where Lady Death will be.
What?
Presumably.
What about Thanos?
Not
That's
that
death,
Lady Death.
Death. Lady Death.
Lady Death. Don't confuse us with a character anyone cares about, man.
Lady Death.
No offense.
No, that's fine. Lady Death is Chaos Comics originally, and after all these years, she's gone to 7,000 companies, but she's never really stopped, and she was basically TNA. Like, there was OK Stories, but it was always overshadowed by tits and ass.
Mm.
And I don't know. There was the animated thing they did of that was pretty fun. It was dark and violent, and I like dark and violent. But anyways, Lady Death coming back. The Flash. The Flash on CW. They casted Andy Mientis to play the Pied Piper. Remember we were talking about the Pied Piper as a character?
Yeah.
He's still going to be a gay character. In the comics, because I wasn't sure where he's been in the comics, apparently he has showed up. He's a good guy in the comics now, and he's dating one of the police captains, which has already appeared on The Flash. So, but they claim he will be a villain when he first appears on The Flash.
Interesting.
And his origins were he was born deaf, he's cured of his hearing problems by Dr. Magnus of the Metal Men, and then he becomes obsessed with supersonics and just starts doing horrible villainous things.
Interesting.
So that is that. There's also, if you watch the first episode of The Flash, which was really good, there are hints of characters that may come because of alter identities like Vibe, Killer Frost, and Firestorm. So that's
pretty cool.
CW news. I didn't watch Arrow yet. It's on my DVR, but Flash was really good.
Okay.
New York Comic Con had 151,000+ attendance, which breaks San Diego's record.
Wow.
So is New York the new big con? I don't know.
Maybe.
I feel like San Diego gets all the good shit, though, because they're in California. Yeah. It's like, we had more people!
Mm-hmm.
So what?
There's probably a lot more parking space in San Diego.
There's a lot more, yeah.
Yeah.
We took in the train. I took in the goddamn train! I want to see some comics! Come on!
Over here.
Where's my Wolverines? So,
out of the way, I got a cosplays.
I'm Carl from Aqua Teens.
We're all Carl from Aqua Teens.
We're all Carl. The friggin' Giants here. We would like to apologize to the state of New York. Never mind.
No, just the city of New York.
Just the city of New York.
Just the city.
All right. Fair enough.
Carl Kahn.
Carl Kahn. No, we'll just keep doing that for the next fucking 50 minutes.
Nice costume. What?
What's a costume? There. They're all out today. Yeah. So have you heard of the new Harley Quinn annual that is coming out?
No, but I'm excited.
It caused a bunch of shit. And rightfully so. Because what? It's a publicity stunt, and it's maybe not the best one.
Oh, jeez.
Rub and Smell Harley Quinn annual. There's going to be two versions of it, and there's a reason for that. The PC good version will have smell of lotion, suntan lotion, leather, pizza, and fresh cut lawn clippings.
Oh, that's so nice.
However, in the other version, lawn clippings is replaced by cannabis Luribe 7A, which is just cannabis in the story. Pot, people, pot, and there will be a drug warning on the issue.
Uh-huh.
Pot somehow has something to do with it. There will be a pot leaf on the cover. There's all kinds of shit. So okay. Your comic is going to smell like weed.
Good for her. If that's what she's into. Let her live her life.
It's such a publicity stunt, though.
It is.
It really is. Scratch and Sniff would have sold a bazillion copies anyways. Mm-hmm. But there's two versions of it, and
that's refresh me a little bit, because it's been a while. How does Scratch and Sniff work? Is there, like, something... Like, does the smell go away?
You scratch
away?
It with your fingernail, and it smells.
Okay, so later on, the unscratched Scratch and Sniff ones will be mint condition. Like... Can you not get a CGC 9.8 if you've scratched?
It, I probably the not. Smell. I don't know. I don't know their policy on.
I bet they're having a meeting about it right yes, now. Right. The people at CGC are like, what are we going to do about the scratch and sniff cover?
I feel like if you don't scratch
9.6 tops.
Yeah. If you scratched it,
if you scratch it lightly.
You might be okay.
If you just smell it without scratching it, which won't work.
That's like when they do the bag. Like they do the poly bags. If you open the top of a poly bag, look at the comic, and then like gently replace it in the poly bag, you can still get a very high rating. So they had to have a meeting about that. All right, they're putting them in bags now, guys. What are we going to do? So it's going to be something like that, I think.
All I know is buy one that smells like weed and CGC it, and then 20 years from now, somebody's going to want to smell it and you make a mint.
Yes. Yeah. And don't take it to any airports or train stations. No. Anywhere police dogs might be present.
It's my comic book.
It's just my comic.
It's comics. All right, pal. Tell it to the judge.
All right. We're on the back page of news, so we're going good. All
right.
These are quick. These are just what the fucks, okay? New Archie series.
What the fuck?
New crossover miniseries with Archie. Who do you think Archie's meeting now?
Oh, wait. Hold on. Let's put money on it.
All right. Can we go? Can you guys narrow it down to a company?
Dark Horse.
Okay. Dark Horse. Darth Vader.
Okay. So then Yoda.
No, come on, man.
That's all I know. I don't know what else they do, and now I know because you just said that.
They have Buffy. Maybe he meets Buffy.
Mm.
Could be. He did fight vampires. All right, you know what? I'm taking my
back. He met
You
kids.
Can have Darth Vader. I'll take Buffy.
I'm taking Yoda.
You're taking Buffy?
I think he meets Buffy.
You're both wrong.
Wah,
wait. Give me another guess. I don't have any more guesses.
Fair.
I don't have any more guesses.
Archie meets the Predator. I swear to God.
Are you serious?
Drawn by the classic Archie artist Fernando Ruiz and written by Alex DeCampi. Four-issue crossover. Here's the plot. I'm going to buy them all. This is going to be a great read.
This is ridiculous. Talk about publicity stunts.
Yeah.
They go to Costa Rica for spring break.
Okay.
And somebody ends up being hunted by the Predator. I swear to God. And to see the Predator drawn in Archie style, cartoony style.
That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, it's so good. They have an image for it. It has them all like, hey guys, let's go get some burgers. Yuck, yuck. And then like the Predator's over them. It's hilarious. That's but awesome. He's not at all threatening.
No, of course
it's
not.
So great.
It's just goofy.
And in more How the Fuck Did This Happen news, Squirrel Girl is getting her own ongoing series.
Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl is a Marvel character that just people love.
What people?
A lot of people. A lot of people love Squirrel Girl because she's so ridiculous. It's going to come out in January.
Does she have squirrel powers?
She talks to squirrels. She controls squirrels, that kind of thing.
She controls them.
Is she a mutant?
I don't know.
No one knows.
No one really knows. Don't ask, but people love her. This will be about Squirrel Girl and her adventures in college.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I want to see her fight Onslaught.
I do too.
There will be two versions, Squirrel Girl and Beaver Girl.
Beaver Girl I like a lot better.
And her adventures in college.
Beaver Girl had better adventures for sure. Have you guys seen that movie?
And since it's college, it also smells like pot.
We should draw that. Beaver Girl's Adventures in College. Mm. We already got to draw the Lube Chain. We got a lot of things that come up on this podcast. We
oh, draw. I listened to that. I finally listened to that Lube Chain episode, the one without me. It was hilarious, I have to say. Well done, guys.
Thank you.
You really can stand on your own.
Thanks. Thanks.
Well, we weren't by ourselves.
We weren't by ourselves. Yeah, I mean, you had a little help.
Spawn.
Sure.
Number 250. Features the return of Al Simmons as Spawn. He has not been Spawn for a while. He had blown his head off and ended his contract with the demons. He's coming back. There's going to be a one-issue, one-shot Spawn Resurrection number one, and then from 250 and 251 on, it'll be Al Simmons. The difference is, this time he has control of all his powers, and he's not held in contract by Hell. He just has all the powers. And he's in control of the demon.
Oh, that makes for great storytelling, you know. Ultimate power, no drawbacks, great.
Yep.
But real character conflict there.
But here's the thing. McFarlane, and he told this person, make me the dumbest guy who ever has ever written this book. That's what he told the guy as inspiration. They got Brian Wood to write it.
Oh.
That instantly makes it kind of awesome. Brian Wood, your X-Men writer that you loved.
Mm-hmm.
Now Moon Knight writer. I like Brian Wood a lot.
Interesting. I gotta say, Spawn's got to be in the running for highest numbered book these
days, probably. Without ever changing.
Yeah.
It's got to be top 10. I think Archie's won still.
Because it just keeps going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's up there. It's definitely up there. That or Savage Dragon, as far as those Image books.
Yeah.
Those two are probably the highest. But I don't know how regularly they came out throughout the year. Dynamite has a big event. They're bringing back King Features Syndicate, which was a print company owned by the Hearst Corporation. What does all of that mean, and why do I say
it? I don't know, but it sounds like it should have, like, hot jazz playing in the background.
That's not really jazz.
Dateline, Hearst Syndicate.
The King Features Syndicate. Print company owned
Am
by
I
the
wrong?
Hearst Corporation.
Is that not what it sounds like?
It does sound like that, New York Truser.
It is the 100th anniversary of the Hearst Corporation, which
See?
Is owned by the
yeah,
Kings.
That sounds like a dude.
So five miniseries.
Dateline, 1914, the Hearst Corporation
creates
comic characters.
Black and white reel.
Five miniseries that will eventually interconnect into some sort of story. Flash Gordon, Prince Valiant, The Phantom, Jungle Jim, which I assume is a Tarzan character, and Al's favorite character of all time.
Yellow Boy?
Mandrake the Magician. Loves Mandrake the Magician.
Wow.
I don't know why. These are all super old characters.
Hmm.
Really, The Phantom had a shitty movie. Yes. Flash Gordon had an awesome movie. And Prince Valiant has been in the newspapers for a bazillion years. So, you know they're old characters. They're getting new life at Dynamite, and Darwin Cook is going to draw the first issue, so it looks cartoony. So, that's big news for them.
That's pretty cool.
And we have two more news stories, so we're doing very well. Star Wars Rebels, the new cartoon that is on Disney XD. They're trying to get a lot of people in, and they're doing something kind of amazing to do it. It apparently has already aired. The initial startup movie, Star Wars Rebels, Spark of Rebellion. They're rebroadcasting it on ABC on October 26th. They're going to do something special when they rebroadcast it on ABC. They're adding a voice over to it. They got James Earl Jones to do Darth Vader for the cartoon. Just for this rebroadcast version of it.
Okay, so the episode's already played with a different Darth Vader.
I think he didn't talk or something, or he just made his noise or something. But now they added in James Earl Jones' voice to it. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. See,
pretty cool.
It's in good hands with Disney. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the episode, but at least they're paying mm-hmm. respects to the right.
I mean, the show looks like audience. It's more for, right. for children yeah. than maybe Clone mm-hmm. Wars was, and mm-hmm. I'm not very interested at all, but I kind of want to hear James Earl Jones tell yeah, me right? some shit again. So I may check it out. I may just DVR it and go to the part with James Earl Jones.
And then get hooked and love it more than your kids.
Yeah, probably. Or I'll be like, this sucks, and I'll go watch like Field of Dreams or something.
When James Earl Jones was just old and not ancient.
Right. And the last little bit of news I have pertains to Arrow. There's a lot of rumors that they're going to get another spinoff show now that The Flash started. And they've been talking about The Atom. They've been talking about Hourman because they were going to do an Hourman show, which is like, take a pill, I have superpowers for an hour kind of thing. But and Firestorm is also likely because they casted both versions of Firestorm, the hero version and the scientist version for Arrow. But it seems like the most likely one is Booster Gold. Yeah, that's what I said.
Booster Gold.
Booster Gold. Because they've already written an amazing script, so they say, and it was in development at Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi passed. The rights just came back. They can do it now. They can just go, and Booster Gold could be on TV in 6 months.
Wow.
It could happen. So, but it would work out kind of cool doing time travel stuff with the Flash. Reverse Flash is supposed to be from the future. All these things. If they do those things.
Hmm.
So, it could actually add a lot, but it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be good.
Right.
So, that's all the news. We blew through it really fast. I don't know if anybody enjoyed that or not, but...
No,
it got good. It all
but
out.
But we had to do it.
We had to it do had it. To be done! Dateline. King's
Dynamite. Can we do that? Can we add like a sound effect before yeah, and after the news?
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's uh-huh. more work for Tim, so I don't mind just throwing that out there.
Sure.
Yeah. Making a suggestion yeah. and say that
that's
we need
that's actually really
the...
good.
I'm going to agree to it, and then we're going to forget about it, and that's fine.
I mean, but then you'll listen to the podcast.
I'm
going to
text you every day.
Okay.
Do it.
I'm like, did you
yeah, we can figure it out. Yeah, you can throw it in there.
Or you could just go do-do-do-do-do when you think I'm winding up for the news.
No.
That's not as good.
We can do it now as a placeholder, but yeah. we need to...
Or we can find a noise and push play.
Yeah, I guess
that
we
way
could
we don't
do
have
that.
To edit it.
I bet yeah. it's on our phones.
Yeah, probably. For sure.
I bet with
for
all
sure.
our phones here, we could find a daylight noise.
There's three phones. One of us will find it.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, next time. That's yeah. our homework.
Next work homework, yes.
Man, I can't wait to go eat and have coffee.
Yeah, you need
fucking
to do
fucking blood work. All right, so.
So, what
comic
we
reviews? What you want to do a book? Stuff. You have a pile so huge.
Pile O books.
Pile O books.
Yeah,
has been
wow.
I brought every book ever.
Hey, don't be cheating.
Hey.
You're really reviewing all
no,
these
I don't
books?
Have time to do all these books.
There's like 19 books
hey,
on the table.
He had 19 news things.
You have a lot of free time.
He had 19 news
but
things.
I warned you.
Yeah, so I warned you. You saw the stuff.
Wait, this is
No, I'm
real?
Not going to.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, hold on. Some
oh
of these
my,
have to be
out
old.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
$2 cover price.
All right. Some of these I'm going to go through really quickly, so I might be able to get through a lot of them, actually.
What?
Rat Queens, cover A. I don't know what number this is, actually. Does it say
eight?
Eight? Sure, let's go with eight. Seven
or eight. Eight. It does. It says it on the cover that you just.
Oh, you actually have
right
words.
Above cover A.
Oh, it has words that say eight.
Let this guy review books.
Oh,
I
geez.
Don't know. Sometimes you throw people.
So this issue is all about Violet,
yes.
the dwarf, and it's all about her background. And I actually wasn't happy about it as I was reading it. I was like, why are we now all of a sudden in the background story of Violet when we were just in the middle of about to fight Cthulhu?
Mm-hmm.
So I was really pissed off. But then it ended. Beautifully. I'm like, oh, okay. She's basically going back to her memories of what was going on in her past because she must have got knocked the fuck out by Cthulhu and she's like just thinking about her past and then all you see is
Hannah
pulling her from like her hands. It's just saying, don't fucking look behind you right now. Just focus on me and dragging her through the rain. That's all you see. That's the last panel.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, they definitely... I wanted Cthulhu this yeah. issue, and I didn't get it, but the ending was alright.
The ending was... It was good enough to kind of keep you like, alright, okay.
Like, oh, man.
Alright, I'll pick
as long
up...
As long as the other ones don't get knocked out, and I have to see their fucking backstory,
right.
too. Everyone knocked
six
out?
6 months of yeah.
plot device. Uncanny Avengers, number 25, by Remender. Awesome. I loved it. Uncanny Avengers is, again, the book to pick up. If you're not reading it, you obviously hate Charles Xavier. So... It's really all about... This is the issue where Onslaught is born. This is the issue where he's born. And it's great, the interactions between Magneto and Wanda. I thought those great interactions, showing how Wanda's still very fearful of her father. Like, even as strong as she is, as much as she's gone past all the pain and the hurt, she still can't get past the fact that Magneto is just, you know, a badass and does whatever he wants. And I don't know what to tell you guys, but you should have already read it by now, so I'm going to tell you. Magneto is fighting Red Skull, like, going at it. And then it ends, and he's on the ground. And they're like, all right, we're done. And Magneto's like, no, we're not done yet. He's like, he needs to die. And so he goes and picks up a huge pile of bricks, smashes his head in. Completely, his head is now exploded on the ground everywhere. He's dead. Everyone's upset about it. Then huge explosion, which is what happened last time with Onslaught, by the way. You kill the host, and then Onslaught then becomes Onslaught. So you have to kill the host first, though, in order for Onslaught to really show up and get badass. So Onslaught starts in Uncanny Avengers.
So they smash his head, and then he appears.
Magneto smashes his head in.
Somebody asked me, and I said, I don't know. I assume the Red Skull went grave digging and ate Charles Xavier's brain. That's what I told him.
If you read it, Uncanny Avengers number one, you would know the answer to that question.
Well, whatever.
He did go grave digging, and yes, that's kind of what happened. Yes.
Okay, then. I was right, being a dick.
Slightly. Moon Knight number eight. Did you read it yet?
No, I still didn't. Yeah. Go ahead.
It was good. I think I'm going to let it go, though. It's just, ooh. It's a Tim thing. Oh. It's not really for me.
We're going to do this now?
Yeah. I didn't know how to tell you this, Tim. I figured I'd say it.
That's fine. I got your X Factor canceled.
It was a good issue. It was fun. And I get why you like this sort of stuff. But but it wasn't for me, but it was a really good issue. All right?
Some sort of straight vigilante thing. I don't know. I get why
your people you would. Like this. But it was really cool. It was all done through a video phone because someone was capturing the events of a hostage situation, and this was part of it. So it was actually a really cool concept to do all through a video phone. Axis number one. It's awesome. I like it. I know there was at least one person who didn't like the beginning couple of panels, the way that they're structured. But overall, I thought it was a good introduction. What I really liked in the very beginning is Captain America's lines. I've already talked to you before. I don't like the fact that Captain America is not a leader, right? So then there's a moment where he becomes a leader, and I was like, I'm really excited for this situation. Where he's like, no, Thor, get in line, do it. But then he takes it way too far. He's like, Thor, you're an idiot. Do what I say now. And then Thor's like, what? And then smacks him with his hammer. And I was like, what is going on right now? Well, it turns out Onslaught's controlling all their minds already from, like, way out far away. And so he's already starting to, like, seep into their minds and start making them do crazy things. But Iron Man's not affected. And Iron Man's not affected because at some point in time he decided, you know, there's mutants out there and the telepathy is actually a real thing. I'm going to build my suit to where telepathy can't affect me because it's all just frequencies to him. So telepathy is just a frequency. You can cut it out. So anyways, it goes into that whole Avengers side of things. And then it goes into the bigger fight where Onslaught's like whooping Magneto's ass and Rogue and Havoc and everyone else. People start to show up. Avengers, X-Men are showing up to help out. Looks like things are going well. Doesn't, because Onslaught was controlling Iron Man a long time ago and made him actually build a suit with telepathy, right? And then also made him develop two adamantium sentinels created with the files used from Civil War.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Good job, Remender. Good job.
Because Civil War, he had the files of all vulnerabilities for every superhero ever. And he tried to erase his mind so he would no longer have that memory. But deep down, he kept enough of it that Onslaught was able to pick it up and say, oh, you still got it. Because the way that he portrayed it was Tony Stark is way too much. He's too fearful of being an average man. So he couldn't let that information go.
and that's why he kept it in the recesses of his mind.
The plan to make adamantium symbols?
The plan to always have, know the weaknesses of every superhero. And then he...
And their weakness was, like, just indestructible.
Indestructible.
Adamantium
symbols.
Well,
I'm sure what's happening is that the Sentinels, being indestructible is one part of it, but I'm sure Sentinels have powers that are neutralizing things left and right, so... So anyways, I was super excited with that. I'm going to skip that one.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'll skip these for now. I'll come back to it later. I'm going to pick out my favorite top two and then go from there. So, Lou, okay. You want to go?
Sure. I got Witches number one with a Y.
What?
Written by Scott Snyder. And the artist is credited as Jock.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Is that a guy? Is he?
That's a guy.
From other things.
He's actually really good. He was known for Green Arrow Year One. That's his big claim. No. Pretty much everything Arrow, the show, is based on was the stuff that Jacques did.
Oh, really?
With Andy Diggle, which is why a character's named Diggle.
That's a funny name.
It is. I do. I like the artwork. It's kind of like, it's sort of like, I guess Temple Smithy a little bit.
The way it's colored in this, it is.
Yeah. But I like it. I think the cover is really cool too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's from Image. It's an Image number one. And it kind of starts out, it's obviously about, you know, like some supernatural stuff in the woods, which they give you like a quick overview of, like, you know, back in the day, this, you know, messed up stuff happened in the woods. There's this woman in a tree, like she's stuck in a tree, and there's like some horrible monsters in there. And then it pans out, and it's like, oh, the story of a family. And they moved to this place, and it's like centers around like a high school girl, which is, you know, it's fine. A lot of stuff is like high school these days.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you got your morning glories and runaways, and even that runaways isn't happening right now, but you know, but that's fine. Okay, girls in high school.
I blame that Veronica Mars.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Quick side note. I was like recommending stuff to my friend, and like I showed him Runaways, and I was like, "Oh, read Morning Glory's first trade of that." And he's like, he just takes the book, and he's like, "High school again." And I was like, "Wait, how many high school books do I recommend to my friends who are, you know, pushing 30. So, but no, it's good. So I'll just say that there's obviously like the undertones that this girl has, you know, some kind of powers, and she's got a past that she's running away from, and the family's running away from it. And it just gives you it's called Witches, and it gives you the hint that she might have magical powers. And so it's cool. I recommend checking it out. It ends with a pretty cool scene where she sees, like, you know, this person from her past who appears to be dead come back, mm-hmm. and it leaves you on that cliffhanger. So I feel like it's well written. It's cool enough. I'll definitely pick up the next couple issues because I feel like it'll start getting interesting pretty quickly. So mm-hmm. it was a good intro issue, and I think it's going to go pretty good places. And I like the art, and I like the concept.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I read a little bit of it last night as well, and I enjoyed it as well, and I actually like the art, but I really feel like that should be a book. Like, even the way it starts, like, I feel like I was reading a regular, like, book, like, from Stephen King or whoever. That's what I felt like when I was reading it.
Well, I mean, Stephen King, like, it does kind of have, like, that style type feel. Mm-hmm. Like he kind of does that where it's like, oh, here's this normal family, and then this, you know, horror type situation is thrust upon them. So yes. It does have that kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
But I like that, and I think mm-hmm. it's good. And I also don't mind like a book that's more dense, you know, with like a lot of dialogue, and it has that, you know, afterword by the author in it, which I hadn't read yet, but
it was good.
That's cool. I appreciate when they add stuff like that into the back to kind of flesh it out. And you see that a lot with like the independent like type books where, oh, here's some background and how I feel about the story. And you don't get that with like a lot of the mainstream superhero stuff. No one's like, oh, here's my experience with superheroes growing up. Because like, yeah, we know. dude. All right. Yeah, so check it out. Witches with a Y, number one.
Cool.
Nice.
I have a book. War Stories, number one, by Garth Ennis. Since we're on a Garth Ennis kick with your Red Rover Charlie.
Yes.
This book, and War Stories, I think he did it with another company, maybe. This is with Avatar. I know he did a lot with Dynamite. He did Battlefield and all those books. I'm under the impression from something that was said in this that War Stories appeared elsewhere. And Matt Martin is the artist. If you've never read any of his war stuff, it is incredibly detailed. He puts so much effort into his war stuff. He really is a war buff. WW2. This book, like, it's not like an amazing story. It's a good setup issue, and it's part one of three. It's going to be an ongoing, but like this main first story, it's very good. It's a lot of setup, but like the way he writes is so good. All the details about the planes. He names all the gunners, all the positions. It's all based on facts, and like it's American pilots stationed in England. He knows England. He knows everything, all the places. He gets in such detail. So, is it an amazing story? Not really. It's good, but like the way he writes is fantastic. It was just a treat to read him.
Nice.
With all the he put so much time into that book.
How many people died?
Tons of people died.
Okay, good.
Tons. There's only a few scenes, and they're kind of like flash forwards in the story of like, oh, shit's gonna go down. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, oh, how did we get there? And it's pretty, the violence is drawn well, but the heartstrings are always pulled with Garth Ennis, whether it be a dog or a guy in a plane.
Nice.
Well, some wacky preacher who gets a little toasted at the sermon and starts saying some crazy things here. Sorry, I was going back to New York.
Oh, my gosh.
Leander, what you got? You got something else?
Well, two more and I'm done.
Okay.
Grayson, number three. So I've been trying to keep up with Grayson just because, DC, I don't read you, so I'm trying you out. I like Grayson, number three. It actually was a really fun issue. It's basically Nightwing. So as we know, Dick Grayson is now a spy for the government. Everyone knows he's Nightwing. Everyone knows that. And this is an issue where he's really struggling with the fact that I used to be a superhero, now I'm this spy person. And in this spy world, I gotta do stuff that my teammates aren't gonna like. Or my teammates want me to do, but as a hero, I can't do it. So because of his decisions, people die. Because of his superhero decisions, people die. Because if he had stuck with his spy decisions, people would have lived. Mm-hmm. And it's actually one of his teammates dies because of it. So now it's even more like, oh, I'm, you know, what am I doing with myself? Why? Who am I? And it was actually really good because I, you know, he's Robin to me as far as I'm concerned because I don't know anything about his life. And so he has sex with a woman. And I'm like, what? Can Robin have sex with a girl? Wait. Is he old enough for that?
So, a woman.
For me, it was like his first. Like it was like my. For me, it was like his first. Like, oh, you've lost your virginity. This is so awesome. Where it seems like he's been doing it for years. So. It was pretty funny.
This ain't Robin's first rodeo, pal.
But in general, the idea at the
what
end.
What do you think
though,
me and Batman talked about?
I think at the end of it, though, the whole idea behind the secret thing behind his spy agency is that they're learning all the secret identities of all the superheroes. Hmm. Everyone. So they've already gotten like a ton of them already. At the end of it, every issue, it shows the superhero and then 80% probability that it's this person is what they're saying. So that sort of stuff is happening in this book. So anyways, really good. I liked it. I'm going to keep reading it for a while longer.
So, but everyone knows that He's Nightwing.
Yes, that's
okay.
New.
I have a real problem with, like, superhero spy characters who everyone knows who it is. And that's, like, the thing with, what's her name? In Avengers. Black Widow. At the end, she's at a press conference. Like, you're no longer a spy.
Right.
Like, unless you're going to use the face mask trick, like, all the time. Right. Which I guess, why wouldn't you? But And like in this case too, it's like, okay, you're a spy. You're, if you have international recognition, you cannot spy on people. They know it's you.
This is what happens. I know why that's important. So yes, everyone knows in the spy agency who he is, right? Right. However, when anyone sees him outside of the inside the spy agency, he basically has like a twisted warp face. Like, you can't see his face because of some kind of hypnosis that they have. So, like, when you look at his actual face, unless he chooses to, it's like a warped-looking face. So you don't actually see his face.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So that's kind of, like, the idea behind it is, like, you can never see their face.
Oh, better than a pair of glasses.
Yes.
To hide the identity. Cool. Superman reference there.
But the idea is that...
One
of the things they're trying to do is that there's this guy who, like, lost two of his children, and lost his eyes for whatever reason. Somehow he turned his hands into guns and linked it to his eyes, so he can only see through these guns. And he chooses to assassinate people that way. And he's looking at it, because his two sons were killed in some kind of, like, accident that should never happen because of a war or something like that. So he's killing everyone, and he's saying that these two guns are his son, and he looks through their eyes as he kills people.
That... is stupid.
I know. His guns. I know. I should have actually not even brought it up.
You shouldn't have brought it up.
I've never seen it. I was like, oh.
It would have been cooler if he had eye guns. Like guns in his eyes. Like where his eyes used to be.
Yeah.
Instead of his hands. Because now,
it's linked up to his hands.
That's weird.
I don't know.
You had me sold.
I did.
An assassin replaced his.
I know.
I feel like we should give him his money back.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. You can take you can flip through it.
Well, it looks like he's just holding guns.
It does, but it's actually linked up to his eyes.
Can he let go of the guns? Like, how does he go to the bathroom?
I don't know. He points at his gun, his penis, and makes sure that he's
saying. That's weird. Then the eyes of his sons are holding his junk.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck, guy? You didn't think of that.
I just whip it out. Sure, it's whipped down all the time, and he just
goes. I'm sure he can put it down. He's just blind at that point in time. That's all.
Oh, I see. So when he holds the guns, he can see through the guns.
Daddy, not again!
But when he puts him down, he can't see.
Right. When he puts him on,
so all you have to do is disarm him.
That's correct.
Like a basic karate move. That's can't just correct. Blind this guy and then he's fucked.
That's correct. But basically, because his eyesight is his gun, he's like the super sniper. You know, like he obviously knows. You know, his accuracy is pretty much point on every time.
It looks like he's using, like, 1930s era, like, revolvers. Wow. He's shooting in helicopters. I don't think that's really... Yeah.
It's possible.
Does he have special bullets? Because... All right, I'm reading this
They're
panel.
Made of his children's eyes. They're
made of his children's eyes. Like, all of my kids are... Stop making us kill, Daddy!
No.
He's shooting a helicopter with, like, you know, like this old West revolver. And the pilot's like... The copter is going down. Like, really? Man, who built this thing?
Those bullets must have been made out of souls of children.
That's it.
It's really good. I like the issue, and I think it's worth
it. We are trashing it without having read it. Having read it.
Look, that's
just, sex scene.
It was a really good, like, way he goes into it. It was really
Oh,
good.
My
She's
God.
Screaming
yes.
dick.
Yes.
Wow, okay. Hold on. Hold on. This first panel. Everyone buy this just to see the first panel. This is so obviously intentional.
Dick!
Everything about this is amazing. We have to post a picture of this on the website.
We will.
Because Absolutely. Everything. And then the title right under.
The gun goes off.
Yes. So you can't even. We can't do it justice. We gotta put it on the website.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's a really good panel.
So. Yeah,
not for kids, everyone.
No, it's definitely not for kids.
I like Nightwing. Yes. Holy fuck!
Mom.
So,
hey, Ma, I gotta go to Comic Con.
Ma, buy me Grayson number threes.
They're so good with the dick.
Alright, and then last one, and I'm over.
Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy 3. Great game. Leander's favorite game.
Fantastic Four.
It's just like it.
Annual. It's an FF. This is a great, great issue. If you love Invisible Woman in any way, shape, or form, you need to pick up this book because it's totally worth it. It goes into her motherly instincts, and it goes into her I'm still a badass, right? And it also kind of shows in this issue that Malice is coming back as well. So I don't know if you guys know Malice, an Invisible Woman. So at some point in time, Malice invaded her body and like kind of turned her into this slutty, overpowered badass.
Hot
yeah. MILF. So this is an issue that I've been wanting to pick up because I wanted to find out more about Valeria. Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman had another child. Her name was Valeria. Dr. Doom helped deliver that child.
It's another kid?
Yes, they had another kid. So there's also Franklin. There's two kids. There's Franklin, and now there's Valeria, who's now 3 years old.
Oh, no, she's been around.
She's been around, but I know that because she was part of FF or whatever, yeah. Right? But I didn't understand how... I didn't know enough about her. Like, I don't know how she came to be. Like, I don't know...
Dick.
Dr. Doom.
Dick!
But was it Doom Dick?
We don't know
All
that.
Right, stop.
Then we don't know that. It could be, possibly.
No.
Yes.
Is that where they're going?
Yeah, it's possible. Because you know Valeria lives in Latveria. You know that, right?
No, I've been off since Hickman... stopped writing it, so I haven't really followed it since.
Well, Valeria now lives with Dr. Doom because she doesn't approve of some of the things that Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman do in order to save the world. She doesn't approve of it.
So she lives with Dr. fucking Doom?
That's her uncle. That's how she's like, that's my uncle. And Valeria has always been Dr. Doom oriented.
I'd say, you're right.
Like the future Valeria and everything.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you don't already know about Fantastic Four, they've lost their building, their helm. The Future Foundation's gone. The government took them. Because they're like, you guys aren't fit parents. You guys aren't fit to actually lead these kids. Took them away. So, you know, Mr. Fantastic and Ms. Woman, they're having problems. Sue and Reed, they're having problems. So she's like, I want my daughter back. I'm like, this is stupid. Well, like, how did I even let her go to begin with? So she goes to Latveria to go get her daughter back. And you see them. Dr. Doom, for all intents and purposes, is a good guy right now. And
oh, okay.
Valeria helped him to create a nonprofit to, like, use all his power and influence. Solve, you know, poverty, you know, world hunger, stuff like that. They're working on that sort of stuff together. And she flies in, Sue, to get her daughter back. And she's like, no, I just want my daughter back now. No, now. And, like, she flips out and, like, tears down that Varia. Everything, fire is going everywhere. And she's pissed. She's like, why? I want my daughter back now. And Dr. Doom won't let her. He's like, if Valeria chooses to go with you, I will let her go right now. And Valerie's like, no, I don't want to go with you. And she's like, how spoiled rotten are you that you think that you can actually stay here? I'm your parent. You're coming home right now. And she says, no. Dr. Doom says, get the hell out of my place. Fight ensues. At the end, the Invisible Woman whoops Dr. Doom's ass to the point where he's about to die right now. Valeria runs up to Dr. Doom, covers him, and says, Mom, stop it, stop it. And like, no. Mom's like, I want you to come home with me. You're here with this monster. And she looks at her, the little kid looks at her crying. She's like, you're the only monster here. So everything's burning down. People are yelling, screaming, upset. Because, you know, it's just the citizens of Latveria. It ends with Valeria staying and Invisible Woman flying off, crying to herself. Like, what have I done? What kind of monster am I? I'm no longer a fit mother.
It's so strange how far things have come. That now you can be looked upon badly for beating up Dr. Doom. There was a time where everyone would have been like, fuck yeah, Invisible Woman.
About time.
You rescue that little girl. Now it's now it's present day, so there's the whole, you know, I'm not going to go with you, Mom.
Because she can call what? Family Protective Services or something.
Yeah, like, Child Protective Services. My daughter's staying with a known supervillain terrorist.
But he's not. He's not doing anything supervillainous. He's actually saving the world. He's actually helping to save the world. The only thing I didn't like is that, because you've seen...
Was there a guy with guns that he could see out of?
Is that, you know Future Foundation, and you've seen Valeria.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right. Are you ready for this picture of Valeria?
Are they drawler hot? Wait,
no.
Hold on.
No. You ready?
Yeah, all right.
That's her.
Okay, she's like the Lollipop Guild.
Yes, she's like the Lollipop Guild.
Oh, that's crazy.
She's okay, so it's tiny.
I was scared that they were going to give her hips or something.
No, but she was never that small. She's like an infant.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, it looks really... But you said she's, what, three?
She's three.
Well, then that's what she would look like.
But Doom's huge. You gotta look at it like that.
Yeah, but in Future Foundation, she didn't look
great. Yeah, she looked like, you know, like 7 or 8. She acted like it. But she's supposed to be a genius, so it makes sense that F3, she would, like, talk. She could be able to have a conversation like a 7 or 8-year-old. But sure. Yeah, I guess if that's how young she's supposed to be, that looks right.
Yeah, and it's funny when you see her, that picture of her was actually a life model decoy that she was controlling. And so that's when Invisible Woman got upset. She's like, how effing dare you send out a life model decoy to talk to your mother?
Like, hashtag super family problems.
Anyways, that's it. That's all I'm doing for my books. I'm gonna save
You're not one. Skipping dinner again, and don't send those decoys down. I'm not into this artwork, though.
Yeah, it's so-so.
I've seen worse
as well.
That's all right, but they usually phone it in on the annuals, right? Like they don't usually bring their A-game artists for annuals.
No.
I hate how she looks on the cover.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty dumb. Yeah. So does she. And I don't know what's going on with her mouth.
I don't know.
Like she got beat up or something, but you can't really tell.
Sue Storm is always drawn way too hot for a lady who's had kids for 50 years.
Yeah. She's definitely full figured. That's a fact.
No, she's not full figured. She should be. That's not a full figure. That's right. Like, you know, 20-year-old Olympic athlete figure. But welcome to comic books, right?
Welcome to comic books. Well, you know, that's what I look for, is full figured women. Tim.
Yes.
You good?
I'm great.
All right. You look really tired.
I need coffee so bad.
And you need to have your blood taken away.
I need all my blood taken out of my body.
And replaced with coffee. Replace with coffee. Instantly. Can you guys do that here?
You can, but no guarantee of survival.
Oh, I forgot to say the thing I was going to say. Remember how I was saying that when you just wished that the man would take the sign down, he came by and did it?
Yes.
That, that ties into the witch's book, because... The girl from her past that everyone thinks that she killed this bully who was beating her up, and she didn't. She just kind of got sucked into the tree in the witch woods, and she thinks that by wishing it, she made it happen. And that's why I was thinking, you know, it was like you wanted the man to take the sign down, and you just wanted it so hard that the guy came down and said, "All right, you got it.
I got to get this sign." He drills it out.
Awesome. Anyways. Did you ever figure out the dates for your band?
Oh, I did. I looked it up on the internet.
The Evening Rivers Band.
All right. The Evening River Band. Tour dates. October 16th, Lizard Lounge in Lancaster, PA. October 17th, The Shrunken Head in Columbus, Ohio. October 18th, The Haymarket Whiskey Bar in Louisville, Kentucky. And the 19th, Natasha's in Lexington, Kentucky. So that's where we'll be playing. Check it out. At those places, at those dates.
Yep, if you enjoy jazz, fusion, industrial, this is the band for you.
Wait, no, that's not it. Also, no one enjoys that.
That's true.
Also, it doesn't exist.
I think I just invented that.
Great. Let me know how that works out.
Let's do it. Let's do it, Lou.
No, I have a question for the panel.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, one of the classic, like, superhero-related icebreakers. It's like, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Sure,
right. And the population's pretty much split down the middle on flying for normal people and being invisible for, you know, social miscreants with, you know, social problems. So, yes. Like, if you take those two out of the equation, I'm always interested to see what kind of answers you get. So, Tim and Leander, if you could have a superpower... Mm-hmm. That wasn't flying and wasn't invisible. Those are totally off the table.
They're not my. Those aren't my first pick.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we're into superheroes, I think. But like your average person is like flying, and like, hey, I get it. Flying would be badass. And being invisible, if you know you wanted to spy on people and steal things, like you know most people do, I can understand where that comes from. I don't agree with it. I think it's a little bit, you know, sociopathic.
Mm-hmm.
Sue Storm. Does okay with it, you know, but she's rooted in strong family values.
Yes,
yes. Science and family.
So, you know, she doesn't spy on people in the shower. But what do you guys think?
Well, if I couldn't have guns that I could see through.
I mean, that's obviously number three on everyone's list. So let's not restate the obvious. Yeah. That you'd obviously have handguns with the soles of
DC
your kids.
DC was trying, people. They were trying.
That's like some Dial H shit. Like, he would Dial H and get, like, handguns that he could see out of with his kids in them.
Their souls as bullets. I love it. I would do multiple man. I would want to be able to make multiples of myself. I would get so much shit done.
Such an adult reason.
Well, that, or I could just have a gang of people to beat the shit out of you.
All right, that's better.
There's so many practical ways.
But so, multiple man's mind, like, does he know, like, if there's, like, 10 of them, say, is his brain, like, knowing everything that all of them are doing?
He has ideas of where they're at. When they come back to him, he absorbs them back. He gains all their memories, everything that they learned. And the drawback is, like, when he makes them, like, one could be, like, dumb as shit. And, like, all right, well, go out there. Go be dumb as shit. They could be more angry, more sociopathic. Like, it splits part of it. The human psyche goes with him.
As long as he absorbs them,
he gets all.
But he's not like overwhelmed. Like, if you're like, I could get so much done. Like, this guy went to work. This guy did some laundry, and they all come back, and you just feel like you had the worst day. You're like, all I did was work. I did so much today.
They've said different things, but I think as long as he doesn't do more than like 10 of them, he's not like stressed and strained over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be pretty good then. Right. It's like a lottery drawing to see which one has to do the bullshit. Like, you're going to the DMV today, Tim number three. Like, not again!
Fucking DMV.
I think mine's pretty easy. It would definitely be telepathy. But not like Professor X overpowered, more like Emma Frost situation. You know, just like pure manipulation. That's it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for that other stuff. Just pure manipulation.
Just do what I want now.
Yeah.
Without
chastity belt being worn to the podcast.
Yes, because that would stop it. That would totally stop it.
They'll just tell you
produce your key.
It's too much. Not here. It's too powerful, man.
Is it or not powerful enough? That's why I said powerful. Not Professor X. That's why I said not Professor X. I want White Queen level.
Yeah, well, that's why the most powerful people in real life are the manipulative ones. So, and you're just taking out the whole, like, you know, effort of being that type of guy and just skipping right to
the point.
I want.
That's right. You're right to the point.
Too much telepathy. That's too powerful. That's always, like, the balancing thing. You're, like, the biggest bruiser hero on the team. Like, oh, just don't let anyone take control of your mind because the team's fucked. You know, it's always a trade-off. Yeah. I heard a really cool answer once. Copy-paste man. Because, like, I feel like it's a pretty balanced power, but it's really good. Like, you can just take anything and, like, make a copy of it. So, like, it definitely has its drawbacks. Like, you know,
if you just copy and paste
a stack of money, yeah, you get, like, it's pretty quick gain. But, you know, like, so they could catch on to you because they have all the same serial numbers. You know, you want a sweet car, you copy-paste the car, but it's got all the same tags. So it's cool. It'd be good for, like, a real impulsive superhero. You know, you can get out of a jam quick by just copying what you need, pasting it over here.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, as far as the long term, you definitely have to watch what you're copying and pasting because it could have unintended consequences. I think that's a good one.
Could you copy a person?
I
mean, that's a big deal.
But that just ruins.
I don't think so. I would say no. I would say it has to be an animal.
Immaterial.
Object.
Okay.
Maybe you could go up to animals. But they're probably not animals.
Yeah. Nothing organic.
Nothing
basically.
Organic. Nothing would be organic. Organic. Cap on that.
So
I would just invent something and then make a million of them, like an action figure or something like that, and then put all the serial numbers on them and like, hey.
So your application for this power would be to sell action figures, you fucking nerd.
I don't know why I would make
my own action figure company.
I would do my own manufacturing company.
Yeah. Tim's just like, you're like, I got 10 of me, so I can get more stuff going during the day, and then my copy paste power, I'm just going to replicate industrial objects and sell them.
My production limit will be off the charts.
We need a committee meeting. Come on, multiple men, get in here. We need to do more production. If all my multiple men can copy and paste, we can triple production. It's great, Tim. You're just a corporate. Deep down, you're just a corporate monster.
Solo corporate monster. You don't ever want to have anyone's help except for your own.
coming from the guy who just wants to manipulate people.
I can amass a whole corporation of people to work for me. What are you talking about?
It's true.
I love them too.
Why do we do what I say? Are we so corporate?
Yes.
I need coffee. All right.
All right.
Well, we're going to wrap it there. Thank you, people, for listening. We'll be back soon with more Capes and Scales goodness. Go check out Lou in Kentucky. Kentucky, I expect a big turnout. Don't fucking let me down.
You have nothing better to do.
Fucking Kentucky. Hey, go there, Kentucky.
Hey, you're over here in Kentucky. Yeah,
Kentucky.
Hey, we got NijiCon coming soon.
We do have NijiCon. That's coming up.
Isn't that the same time you're starting your tour?
18.
It is. Yeah.
Indeed.
All right.
Keeps and
scales. Do you want to tell the people where that is?
Hitting the road.
We did it last time.
Yeah.
Well, tell them again. Maybe they didn't hear the last one because I wasn't on it. And why would you even listen?
Good point.
Sorry. Oh, man. I got that one. I'll buy you a coffee. I'm sorry, Tim.
I can't have it yet. I can't have it. It's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's in Pennsylvania. Outside of Philly. Right outside of Philly. Forge Valley.
Was it Valley Forge?
Forge Valley?
No, I don't live around here.
You totally live around here. What are you talking about? You live right here.
Right here. It's Valley Forge. Didn't you see National Treasure?
No.
That was the password.
Somehow I missed it.
I heard it was near King of Prussia. We're not really sure where it is, but go there.
Or Prussia King.
The Prussia King. By Forge's Valley.
Doubletree, right? Is that the Doubletree?
The tree double?
Oh my god!
Nobody knows for
sure. At this point, you might as well Google it. You'll find it faster.
Yeah, just Google it.
You'll find
it so much faster.
I'm just going to cut all this.
No! Well, in that case, if we're just cutting it, I can say what I really feel.
October 18th and 19th, Doubletree by Hilton, Philadelphia. Valley Forge.
That's what it says. Forge's Valley.
So I didn't imagine the Valley Forge part. Okay.
Right. I didn't imagine Forge Valley.
You did. You imagined it, because that's not a place.
We gotta go to Forge's Valley to the NijiCons. All right. Get in the car!
Tim's new character.
We'll see
it's
you
New York comic guy.
Oh, shit. Alright, we'll see you guys there.
Aw, shit. Aw, shitses. Aw, shits. I'll see you there.
The 4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash can!